olo e mafuta male SBS Samoan.
Andre Afamasanga, Talo Falava, and welcome.
Talo Falava, Yuane, lovely to be speaking to you.
Israel Folau's comments don't need repeating here, and I won't. But in an opinion piece that you wrote in the Sydney Morning Herald, you say in it that you want to reach out to people who may have been hurt by Folau's comments. Who are these people exactly that you are trying to reach out to, and why?
Yes. Well, a lot of people have talked about the Israel Folau situation, but a lot of those people have been non-Pacific, and a lot of them have been non-Christians, and a lot of them have been non-gay as well. And the people that I want to reach out to are people like me, people who are Pacific, who are gay and also Christian. And I feel like we are the silent casualties of this debate, because many people are talking about us and about the issues, but not to us. And they're not listening to our experiences. So after the article was published, I spoke to a young Samoan man who's a professional rugby player, and I preached in his church a couple of years ago in Australia. And one of his parents is gay, and he said to me that when this debate started, that it became harder for him to hang out with his rugby friends. Him and his wife found it hard to be around them, because they noticed that a lot of their friends were starting to say terrible things about gay people, more so than usual. And he felt that even though he wasn't being personally targeted, because his family member is gay, he found it hard to be around them. So I was aware, I suspected that happened, and then once the article came out, those sort of stories confirmed for me that many people were starting to feel like they were being rejected by their communities or misunderstood by their communities and judged by their communities.
Samoans and Pacific Islanders' attitudes to people who are LGBTQI+. How would you describe those attitudes as a gay man, as a Samoan, as a former pastor?
I would describe the attitudes, if we appreciate and if we understand for a moment that in Samoan culture, it is really bad to do anything that will bring shame upon the family name. Or to bring the family name into disrepute, or to have people talking about you. So I feel like if you're a Samoan, that's what you're raised upon. You don't want to bring any shame or have people talking about your family. So the reasons for people talking about you might be wide-ranging. However, when it comes to being gay, there is, I think there's a lot of shame and there's a lot of stigma. And you are worried that you are going to bring shame upon your family name. You're worried at the judgment that it might bring upon your parents. Your parents might receive criticism for not raising you well. People might not think that you're a proper Christian. And that, you know, there's a negative association to it, unfortunately. So I think because of those reasons, it's hard to be gay in a Pacific context. And I think that's why so many are in the closet. And for someone like me, it wasn't until I was 44 that I decided to come out. That's old, you know. I feel like I missed out on my 20s and my 30s when most people were finding a partner and settling down, finding their partner for the rest of their life. That was an opportunity that I couldn't do, because I knew I was gay, but I also loved Jesus and wanted to be a Christian. So I had to sacrifice one of those things, and what I sacrificed was being gay and accepting myself and being myself.
Tell me a little bit more about yourself, Andre. How did you come out and why? I'll take that stupid question back, huh? The why. How? Was it time? Were you sick of... Were you just completely sick of not being yourself?
Yes. Well, When I was age 25, I had a real conversion experience. I gave my life to Jesus. My life before that was, you know, I had a good job, but I was a problem drinker. A lot of things weren't good in my life. They were out of whack. And then at age 25, I gave my life to Jesus, and I was very happy about that. And he really did change my life. But I realized that part of being a Christian would mean that because I was gay, that I would need to try to do something about that. So the only options the church offers is that you are celibate for the rest of your life. In other words, that you deny your homosexual feelings and that you can't be in a relationship, you know, and you can't have sex, etc. And then the other option is that you try to be straight. And so for 15 years, I tried to be straight. I attended courses, I prayed, I went to sermons, I fasted, I did a lot of things to try to become straight, that I would be attracted to a woman and that I could eventually be married and have a relationship.
And were you ever married?
No, I wasn't, no. I dated some girls. I was honest with them, though. They liked me, and I said, listen, if you like me, this is what I'm struggling with. And if you're willing to go out with me and let's see if we can work through that, then, you know, we can go out. But in the end, they just turned into friendships. I think when I got to age 40, when I gave my life to Jesus at age 25, my siblings, they said to me, Andre, you're crazy, you're gay. What are you doing? And I said, no, I love Jesus. Jesus can help me, and he will make me not lonely. But I think by the time I got to 40, and after 15 years of trying to be straight, I started to get very sad and very lonely and down, and even feeling suicidal. And I was feeling like I needed to do something. Otherwise, I was either going to be single for the rest of my life, or I was going to start feeling quite depressed and sad and even suicidal and definitely lonely.
Are you in a relationship now, Andre?
No, I'm not in a relationship at the moment. But I'm open to being in a relationship. Like I said before, there's a lot of shame when you are gay and when you're Samoan. Even if you're not Samoan, there's still a lot of shame. So one of the things I've worked through is no longer being ashamed of being gay, you know. So, you know, I've been on some dates, but some of the things that I've realized even when I'm on dates is that I'm still very much a Christian. So, you know, if I just tell you a story, one of my, so I went on a date and the date finished, and then another friend of mine who's a gay man, he was on a date with someone, and during the date, it came out that my friend was Christian, and the guy he had a date with said, oh, look, that's not a problem for me as long as you're not like this other crazy guy I went on a date with. He just spoke about Jesus the whole time, and that was me. So I've realized that, you know, on one hand, I'm trying to explain to Christians that I'm gay and I'm a Christian, and they find that really hard to believe. And on the other hand, you know, gay people are offended that I'm a Christian because the church has hurt them so much. So I feel like people like me are the silent casualties because, you know, we want to, we're fully proud of being Samoan, we're fully proud of being Christian and raised in Christian homes, and we're also gay as well. But it's kind of hard to find someone that's going to accept you in all those communities.
How has Christianity, or a particular interpretation of biblical texts, influence or entrench those very negative attitudes that Samoans and other Pacific Islanders have towards LGBTQI plus people like yourself, and reflected in the comments of Israel Folau?
Yeah, I think they are very harmful. And they're harmful because the moment you say, this is what the Bible says, or this is what God says, the moment you use those statements, you can, it allows you to get away with saying a lot of things. As long as you say those two things, it sort of devolves people of responsibility or any sort of care towards those people, because you can hide behind those terms. And they're what I call when you weaponize the Bible, when you use the Bible as a weapon against people. So I love the Bible, absolutely love the Bible. I read the Bible. I think what I found frustrating throughout the Israel Folau situation was that I read my Bible every day, and I know my Bible quite well, and I would hear people or say writing to me and saying things or writing to other gay people, and they'll say very terrible things like, you know, faggot or whatever else, and they were saying, God, this is what the Bible says, and yet they were saying very harmful things, but in the same sentence, talking about God and the Bible.
It's very, very difficult for someone who've grown up with the church, Sunday school, etc., and with the Bible, to actually weed the bad texts away from the Bible, because such are the bad texts that give rise to those attitudes. Don't you agree?
I absolutely agree, and I think it's an interpretation of the Bible that we need to look at and review. I think there's an important thing. We often say this is what the Bible says, but in fact, if you look at the Bible, you could use the Bible to support slavery, racism, genocide.
Yeah, Paul. St. Paul.
Incest.
Yes.
A number of things. So in other words, this idea that the Bible says it and that settles it is just not true. We have had to adjust our thinking on a number of issues when it comes to the Bible, especially when we realize the harm that it does to people. So for instance, if we look at the issue of slavery or segregation or racism, there's a lot of Bible texts to support you acting in that way. But, you know, when we came to realize that it was actually harming people, we realized that, well, maybe there's a better way to understand and interpret those texts.
And women obey your husbands.
Absolutely, which then gives rise to a lot of things like domestic and family violence.
Exactly.
And we know in situation in Samoa, you know, at the moment, in terms of violence against girls and women, if people are using the Bible in that way against people, that's when we have to have an honest conversation and have to say, hold up, we can't be using the Bible to reinforce the negative behaviours, really, the way that we treat people.
With same-sex laws being passed on both sides of the Tasman now, is there a lining on the rainbow? Can you see these attitudes change amongst our people in, say, the next 10 years or so? As we become more accepting of the LGBTQI plus community and human rights, equal rights.
I would hope so, but my firm belief is that legislation doesn't change people's attitudes. If anything, sometimes it can make them feel pressured into a corner. I do believe what helps is when we get to hear stories of people that are real and we get to listen to their experiences. So I feel, and the reason why I wanted to share my story in the Sydney Morning Herald was because I saw a lot of debate, but I felt like the debate was misinformed and a lot of the comments were hateful and ignorant. So I thought if I shared my story, it might provide some balance to the debate. And I would encourage more people to share their stories, because I think what we do is we talk about homosexuality as a political issue and as a theological issue. But at the heart of this issue is actually people and young people. And since I've written the article, a number of Samoan young people have reached out to me who, you know, have said things to me like, I was a praise and worship leader, I was a youth leader of my church, but I realized that the church would never accept me, so I've had to leave, you know. So these are young people that grew up in the church, loved Jesus, loved their church, but felt forced to leave because they knew they wouldn't be accepted. I think if those stories come out, we would actually see some of the harm that has been done, and that people do love Jesus and they do want to be a part of the church, but there's nothing that they can do to change their sexuality.
Andre, talk to some of our young people tonight. What would you say to them?
I would say to you, if you're a young person, my law lover, well done for what you do in your families. I know there are many young gay men, for instance, that in their families that they have done done it, they've made their families really proud. A lot of them have gone on to have good jobs or go to university, some sort of tertiary education, and yet your family is happy for you to be single for the rest of your life on your own. So they're willing to accept the contribution you make to the family, but unwilling to accept your sexuality. And I will just encourage you, step out, accept and love yourself. God loves you. And your family actually loves you. They might not know, understand the issue at first, but you do deserve happiness. I don't believe that it's God's plan for you to be alone and single for the rest of your life. You are loved. You're not alone. There's people out there like you. And the more you get out there and share your story and don't be ashamed, you will help others make it much more acceptable for them to come out as well.
Andre Afamasanga, thanks very much for talking to us.
Oh, thank you, Yoane.
Toi fia whaafafonga i nisi talafapea? Whaafafonga i le Apple Podcast, le Google Podcast, Spotify, ma po fela vai mawailau podcast.